obviously, football is the dominant topic, but I did tell him, I said, just a quick little note on the Tennessee baseball team that had an epic, at least till you got to the Supers, season, and what the turnover is going to be like on the roster. We know most of it, but there's a question mark here or there, and if there's anything new in the transfer portal. Dan, long-winded there. What's happening?
Yeah, it was a great season, like you said, and now people are kind of piecing things together to figure out what this roster will look like next year. And honestly, I don't think Tony Vitello knows for sure how it's going to play out, just because I think he's definitely looking at the portal like every other coach is doing. And I know Zane Denton from Alabama, the third baseman, has been a lot of talk about him. And then you look at guys like the Air Force catcher, and then the Michigan transfer, the catcher there. I think out of those three, Zane may have the best shot if Tennessee were to land somebody like that, just because he's from that area, Ravenwood High School, with Alabama 3 years. I don't think he's right now pro-ready. I guess he could give it a try if he really wanted to, but I think he'd be a guy that could really benefit at a program where it's at right now with Tennessee in the home state there. You look at Jimmy Overtop, the Michigan transfer I was mentioning. His head coach at Michigan just went to Clemson, and who knows, if he doesn't play pro ball, maybe that's a place where he could follow his head coach, who, by the way, has ties to Tim Corbin as he goes back to Clemson. They were together there that last year for Corbin takes that Vanderbilt job 20 years ago. So Zane, I'm very high on. He was one of my favorite players to watch that Tennessee played this year, just covering and watching Tennessee games. I think he's really good as a fielder and very fun to watch with the bats. It'll be interesting to see what transpires there.
Is Ortega for sure gone, the second baseman?
Well, the interesting thing about Ortega, and I've been keeping up with some of these summer leagues that these UT players are in, he was supposed to be in the Major League Baseball Draft League with the Frederick Keys team. He has not played yet, so usually when you don't play, that's the indicator. You could be maybe just taking some time off where you get back into the grind after a long season, or you could just be kind of sitting back and looking at playing professionally. So nothing set in stone on him just yet. But what's interesting about how this shuffle is, like I said, I've been keeping up with the summer leagues, Cape Cod and the California League, some of these players. You look at Blake Burke, a lot of people have already kind of penciled him in at first base to replace Luke Lipsius, but he's split time at the DH spot in the California League and in left field. You look at Christian Moore, who's had a little bit of time at second base and DH this year for Tennessee. He's played left and right field in the Cape Cod League. So I think maybe there could be some behind-the-scenes type deals, managers, coaches speaking to see how these guys play, kind of see what they present in the outfield, especially a guy like Christian Moore and Blake Burke, because who knows, maybe they'll need something out there in case the portal doesn't go the way Tony Vitello wants to, or maybe they could just slide guys like that in the outfield.
Dan Harrelson, Sports Illustrated, covers Tennessee. Okay, to football, and two recent commitments. They got the Jeremiah Telander out of Gainesville, a linebacker, Gainesville, Georgia. And they got John Slaughter, sorry about that, John Slaughter, out of South Haven, Mississippi, which is over there by Memphis. And he is considered, what, a safety. They're up to, what, number 13, I think. And I was looking at 24/7. I know On3 now has their composite rankings, too. But how's it going, in your opinion, so far for Tennessee recruiting in June?
Right, yeah, I think it's okay right now. I think we're going to know a little bit more about this class coming up. You got quite a few guys with some decisions to make in the next couple of days. I believe you know, just going through the list here, you got Nathan Leacock. He's a 2023 wide receiver. He's got Tennessee in the top seven. Tennessee could be in the mix there. Friday, Jeremiah Cobb, the running back out of Montgomery, Alabama. He's got Tennessee, Clemson, and Auburn. I would assume Clemson or Auburn's going to be the pick there. I don't really see Tennessee landing him, but we'll wait and see. But all eyes are kind of on Francis Maligo. He's supposed to pick his college July 4th. He's the 2023 offensive lineman from IMG. Maybe you can see Miami kind of sneaking there. The way they've been recruiting pretty well, I'll kind of see it as the Hurricanes of Tennessee in that one. Maybe Florida kind of peaks in that one a little bit, but I definitely see Tennessee and Miami as big-time players for him. Jonathan Echols, he's going to decide July 4th. He's a 2024 edge guy, edge rusher. He could actually play tight end on the offensive side as well. Tennessee's really in the mix with him. He's another IMG guy, just like Francis. Christian Conyer, the cornerback, the 2023 prospect out of Bowling Green. Looks like it actually come down to Tennessee and Kentucky. And then Jalen Smith, July 10th is the date on him. He's a 2023 linebacker. Tennessee is a favorite in that one. And a guy that has released his top four 2023 defense lineman out of Douglasville, Georgia, Kyrie Weathersby. He's got Tennessee, Kentucky, South Carolina, Mississippi State. So Tennessee's in the mix there. So we got some names out there coming up. We'll see how it plays out for Tennessee. But the kid out of Montgomery, the running back, I don't know if Tennessee has a shot at him, though.
If Hendon Hooker has to take a play or two off, he gets nicked up, because we know he touches the ball in the running game a bunch, too. I mean, a bunch. So he gets hit a bunch. Good-sized kid now. He's built for it. But if they need to insert another quarterback, who would that be?
I think right now it's Joe Milton. I think that could change, though, with the spring that Taven Jackson had, that he kind of went through the motions. I don't think he's elevated enough to take that number two spot just yet. But you got fall camp coming up, about 6-8 weeks or whatnot. You got 7-on-7 right now. He still has a chance to elevate himself past Joe Milton. But I think maybe the first couple of games you could potentially see Joe Milton sneak in there if needed be, like an Ole Miss type situation last year where he had to come in at the very end. We all know how that played out, which that kind of still resonates with a lot of people. You know, when is Joe Milton going to take the next step in this offense to really solidify himself as the number two guy who used to be QB1? So not a lot of confidence right now in Joe, but Taven Jackson, and we all know how freshmen go early on in the season, but if he can continue to get better, get some more reps through fall training camp, you could see him potentially be that number two guy.
Got an email, and they were talking about D. Beckwith, who was there and then transferred. He now is at Kentucky. And he's in odd shape. If he is a running back, he's 6'5", like 230, which is a very unusual size for a running back. I mean, very unusual. But he never really got much of a shot. Is that kid a player, or what's missing with him?
I think he's a guy that really needs to find a home as far as a position goes. Yeah. Is he going to be a running back with Kentucky? I mean, he needs more reps. I mean, I don't think the size is that big of a deal. Obviously, Derrick Henry is a little bit bigger as far as agility and stamina and just his presence of being that tall. And Deed kind of lacks that. But if he's not going to do anything at running back, maybe tied in or something else. But I think his problem was the coaching change. I think Jim Chaney really wanted to use him in some Taysom Hill-type packages that we saw with the Saints, and that really just didn't come to fruition. A, because it was the COVID year, things were crazy. B, they just weren't that good. And, of course, the changing of the staff there. So, I hope he does well there. It's just he's got to find an identity at this collegiate level for him to continue to get better.
Dan, I know in the past you and I have talked about this. It's just so quiet out there. Is there anything at all on the horizon with the NCAA's look into the Tennessee football program?
I have not heard anything. And the last I've heard that when I did look into it, they were still backed up. So there was no real information of when NCAA would actually get to the case. So, and that's coming from Joe Novak on the committee there, the former Northern Illinois head coach. And I guess I need to circle back to him, but I just don't see in this day and age where Tennessee can get hit pretty hard. Obviously, that came a few months beforehand before everything went down with NIL. But, you know, in my mind, of course, we need to be presented a few more facts of what Tennessee deemed happened, because they're the ones who said that what they found was a fireable offense. Of course, they fired Pruitt. They have Shelton, Felton, and then Niedermeyer. But the way Niedermeyer has been handling himself on social media, you know, I think we're to the point where maybe he's the guy that needs to be the fall guy, because what he's doing on social media is just uncalled for and very unprofessional.
Yeah, he is. Tennessee gets some bad news in recruiting or something, or some kid commits somewhere else, or Carnell Tate. Niedermeyer was spiking the football over that one. Of course, he coaches on that staff on the defensive
side.
Well,
that's the weird thing about it, Bill. Like, yeah, you have the IMG connection there, and he's presenting himself like he caused him to not go to Tennessee. Now, are we going to see this in the future where Tennessee has issues with the IMG guys? But you look at Francis Maligo, the offensive lineman, and that's going to be very interesting. I think Tennessee has a real good chance, but Miami's got basically an equal chance with how they're recruiting, NIL, all that good stuff. Now, if he goes to Miami and you look at Jonathan Echols, the edge rusher, the 2024 prospect, you know, he's a favorite right now for Tennessee, but he's a 2024 guy. If you lose Maligo and then Echols has time in his recruitment process to entertain other offers, you know, that pipeline to IMG right now with Niedermeyer on the coaching staff could be a problem for Tennessee.
Dan Harrelson, Sports Illustrated. Appreciate the time, sir.
All right, thank you.
Solid, man. Dude does his homework. The guy digs in there and does his homework.